The Wake Up Call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. The Wake Up Call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news, on newsstands Thursday. Now your host, Rick Moore.
And good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for being here on WNRN and The Wake Up Call on what is a beautiful Sunday. If you're inside, keep it tuned up. If you're outside, turn on that radio. If you're going somewhere, just pull the car over and crank the windows down. My guest host today, my nephew, Ren Hinchy. Ren, how goes it?
Good.
And you've been here with me a few times in the past for the fun drive. You drive up special for this, right? Is this a major part of your year?
Yeah.
And why do you enjoy this?
Because I'm with my uncle and this is fun.
All right. We will be asking folks to call in for your pledge. We know that you're listening because you like WNRN and because you like The Wake Up Call. We appreciate your support, and we do ask that you show your support through a quick dial on the phone, 979-0919. We'll get you through to any of our call lines that are open. One of the things that I like to do on the Fun Drive Sunday, if you make a pledge of 105 or more, I will work with you to put a show together. For some folks, that's, you know, unimportant. They prefer to just make the pledge. Others are more interested in some of the gift cards for various restaurants that we have. I'm not going to go through the whole list. There are so many of them. Please dial up. The folks answering the phones can tell you what's available for you. For some people, you listen to the program because you like the topics, because the discussion is important, or because the group, the information that we're sharing with you is what drives you to be here on Sundays. And so during these 2 weeks out of the year when we are asking you to support us, I'm trying to make a point of showing support to other nonprofits in our area. I bring a couple different groups on to talk about what they do and how important they are to the community, because it's how WNRN shares what we do. It's important for us to be a community organization, and we want to show how we support others, and some of that comes through your support to us. Today, I have Executive Director of Habitat for Humanity of Greater Charlottesville, Dan Rosenzweig. Dan, how are you?
I'm great. How are you, Rick?
I appreciate you being here. It's a beautiful Sunday outdoors.
Well, I'm tickled to be here. I have to say, my wife is giving me special dispensation to spend an hour with you, so I have to thank her first thing.
Is that because you should be outdoors, like trimming weeds or other lawn care things?
Trimming weeds and watching my wonderful two young children.
There you go. Well, it's nice. I approve of does she also go by Rosenzweig?
Her name's Julie Jones, and I have to give a shout-out to my kids, Nora, who's 2.5, and Sasha, who's 5.5.
Well, you know, we'll be podcasting this for those who want to go online and make a pledge later. If you haven't already done so earlier, I've got some wonderful support before we even came on air today. But we will be talking about Habitat for Humanity with Director Dan Rosenzweig. Not everybody knows what Habitat for Humanity does. I mean, many people recognize that, oh, that has something to do with building homes. You see pictures of groups of people outdoors wearing their same colored t-shirts with their hard hats on and arms around one another. Can you tell me exactly a little more about the mission and sort of the history of Habitat for Humanity?
Certainly. Our mission, quite simply, is to build homes in partnership with hardworking, low-income families and the community of the greater Charlottesville area. One of the misconceptions about Habitat is that we give away homes. In fact, we don't. Our partner families, it makes it really easy for us to come to work every day because our partner families are our heroes. In addition to working one or two jobs, they're also earning 300 to 500 hours of sweat equity, improving their credit, helping build other people's homes. And when they finally earned enough sweat equity, they're expected pretty much any time that they're not at their own job to be on the job site helping to build their own homes. And in exchange, what we provide is a zero-interest first mortgage and a final forgivable mortgage, so that oftentimes they're able to live in a brand-new home that's theirs at a lower rate than they would pay to live in oftentimes dilapidated housing.
And, I mean, there's more greater detail to that. We'll be talking with Dan throughout a significant part of the show today to talk about Habitat for Humanity and how they support our community. Wren, I think you have several questions for Dan. How about this one?
How long does it take to build a Habitat for Humanity house?
Well, that's a great question. That's a really great question. Typically, our homes take from beginning to end about 6 to 8 months, but that's only part of the story. The most important thing that happens is the partner families, when they're selected into the program, they work hard typically for about 2 years from when they're selected into the program till when they sign the papers to close on their home.
Repeat that, because I was looking at a piece of paper. It takes 2 years to build the home, or 2 years for the partner family to, from when they start their process?
On average, it takes about 2 years from when they begin their process till when they sign their closing papers and move into their homes. It takes, by pulling together volunteers and taking advantage of the great support we have in the community, it takes us about 6 to 8 months, depending on the home, to actually build the house. But prior to starting construction on the house, they're working one-on-one with credit counselors, with partner family advocates to clear up credit issues. They take home buyer education classes. They're learning to build so that they can build other people's homes. And they're earning enough sweat equity so that they can be eligible to select a lot.
Yeah, sweat equity. Explain that a little bit, because it has, you know, for those of us who just want to sit inside and with the air conditioning, that doesn't have a very appealing sound to it.
Well, it's hard work. There's no question about it. And we very much believe that when you have skin in the game, when you've worked to build your own home, you're going to be a much more successful long-time homeowner. And the numbers bear that out. We've sold over 130 homes in the greater Charlottesville area, and we've only had 2 foreclosures, which is pretty astounding when you think that some of our homeowners earn as little as $15,000 a year, and when you think about national averages. So they've built their homes, they're incentivized to stay in their homes, and sweat equity is really the thing that pulls it all together.
This is WNRN's Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call. I'm Rick Moore, my guest host, Wren Henschy.
Hello.
And we are interviewing Dan Rosenzweig from Charlottesville's Habitat for Humanity. We are doing the fund drive today for my program. I appreciate all calls. We know you're listening out there, and we appreciate the support that you give us, that we try and give back to the community as a whole by allowing Habitat for Humanity to be on air with us and give a little bit more acknowledgement to what they do and a little bit more understanding as to why they do it. Let me thank Levinson's 94.7 for being with us, and for organizations like Herb Bennett. He's your Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield authorized agent. As your local agent in Central Virginia, Herb provides expert knowledge and personal service in designing your individual health insurance plan. Your health is worth protecting, and you should not let it go uninsured. For a quote, you can give Agent Herb Bennett a call. It's 855-425-0090, or you can visit agentherb.com. I see one of the phone lines is ringing. I appreciate it. Don't forget, there are 4 phone lines out there. I'd love for one time during my hour that all 4 of them be lit up. You can also go online and do this, WNRN.org. People have asked me, well, you know, I'm concerned. I'm always not sure about buying things or giving my credit card online or to somebody on the phone. Just so you know, WNRN has encrypted technology so that your privacy is kept private. We don't sell out names to others. All your information stays here with WNRN. And quick moment, we're talking about, I mentioned privacy back in April of this year. I had UVA professor Viva Sadhyanathan on talking about privacy. Listen to this.
Remember that privacy is not about a certain set of behaviors, right? Some people may have no problem telling the whole world who they're sleeping with or what drugs they're doing. And another person down the street may have a severe reticence in sharing that sort of information. But that doesn't mean that person A doesn't care about privacy. Person A might be concerned about some other things. Maybe doesn't want the whole world knowing her religious beliefs. Maybe doesn't want the whole world knowing her political beliefs. So we all have something, and we all have our ways and our methods. That we choose to share doesn't mean we don't care about privacy, because privacy is about management, about having the ability, the autonomy, and the confidence to tell people about you. And just because you share a certain set of factors in your life doesn't mean you don't care about privacy in general, nor that you shouldn't be concerned about other people's privacy.
Is privacy have a different viewpoint from Republicans versus Democrats?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, fundamentally, no, right? Again, if you take my idea that privacy is the idea that we all can manage our reputations in various contexts, Democrats and Republicans all have parents, all have children, all have clergy, all have teachers, all have coaches, and all deal with law enforcement, hopefully, for most of us, minimally. This is about making sure that we maintain dignity, that we maintain some sort of honor and trust in society. They just don't realize how the technology works, right? So one of the things that I think we have to recognize in these, when we discuss this stuff, is the privacy challenge that Facebook, that Google, that Amazon present to us, that the FBI presents to us, these are problems that we all share. There's no segment of society that doesn't have to deal with these sorts of things. And we're all just babies when it comes to this stuff. We're dealing with a new environment that is, for most of us, less than 20 years old. And if that's the case, we are all just learning how to behave differently in this environment. We're all just learning how to work the tools. We're very early at this game. So I don't think we should be declaring privacy over. I don't think we should be declaring that these companies or the government has won. I think we have to be careful when we talk and sort of stereotype young people or stereotype old people. I think we need to make sure that collectively we make sure that we have the tools, we have the regulations, the laws to protect the innocent from having their lives destroyed by otherwise innocent procedures. Look, you know, when I was growing up, if I made a mistake, a youthful indiscretion, and believe me, I did, a handful of people knew about it, and today a handful of people still remember it. Most of those love me too much to care, right? And that's true of a lot of people who are fortunate enough to grow up pre-Facebook. In the age of Facebook, in the age of Google, in the age of potentially permanent records, potentially globally searchable, that's in real doubt now, and that's a shame. And that means we have to develop the tools, the ethics, the principles and the laws that deal with these new challenges, because youthful indiscretion can now really come back to harm you. The Onion, a great satirical news site, ran a story last week saying all potential presidential candidates for the year 2024 are now ineligible because of what they have on Facebook, right? You know, I mean, that's just absurd that we should even be thinking about that because, you know, so maybe one way to think about it is, by then, by 2024, everybody's going to be so tired of the semi-nude drunken photos on everybody's Facebook page, it won't be a big deal. Like, these days, anyone can run for president having smoked pot and it's not a big deal, right? So, you know, whereas 10, 15 years ago, it was considered, oh my gosh, look at that, right? So, you know, maybe the norms will shift. But I do know that we can't take that chance. I do know that we need to be more vigilant, that we have to be more oriented to protecting everyday people and less interested in protecting the interests of these big companies.
There you go. One of my favorite bits from earlier this year, Professor Siva Vaidyanathan, talking about privacy. Again, call up with your pledge to WNRN. You make your pledge. We try and be quick and efficient about it. We do not give away your name and phone numbers to other businesses. 979-0919. Call us up and make your pledge. I came in today and found that I already had a handful of pledges that were done online before we even started today. I want to thank my friend Barbara Norden. I talked earlier about doing the program that you would like to do. Barbara made a pledge, and then we chatted about a topic that she felt was important, and we're going to do that for later in the year. My friend Brenda Clement Jones, as always, thank you. Brenda, I appreciate that so much. Allison made a pledge, and Nathan, and then these people named Ann and Wayne had made a pledge, otherwise known as who?
My grandma.
That's right, Mom and Dad to me. So thanks to all of you for getting us off to a great start here on Wake Up Call. Again, our guest today, Dan Rosenzweig, here from Charlottesville's Habitat for Humanity. Wren, you had a question for Dan?
What is the reason behind having the family help with the build?
Well, we think it's, again, another great question. You're really good at that. I think Rick actually ought to watch out because someone might be gunning for his job.
That's why he's only allowed two times out of the year.
I get it. I understand. That's a central part of what we do because we feel like when people build their homes, they take better care of their homes long term and they stay in their homes. And that's really what we are. We don't give away homes. We're a self-help home ownership opportunity program. It's a lot of words, I know that, but it basically means we extend a helping hand, a hand up to help lift people out of poverty.
Well, one of the questions, you know, I do my homework for the shows, was that some people, whether it's an individual or a neighborhood or other larger groups, are concerned that putting Habitat for Humanity families in some sort of close gathering may bring down the value of the neighborhood as a whole or potentially lead to other problems. Is that true in terms of needing to make an argument against it, that those sorts of, that the Habitat for Humanity homes are in some sort of close neighborhood? Or is that just people making, you know, bringing up something that is not even deserve discussion?
Well, let me put it this way. Every neighborhood, be it Forest Lakes or Glenmore or Locust Grove or what have you, would be better off if every homeowner who lived there took 2 years of homeowner education classes, learned how to service their mortgage, learned how to get along with their neighbors, and entered into homeownership prepared for it. In fact, the current national housing mess that we're in might not have happened had people been a little bit more educated prior to entering into their mortgage agreements. We feel very, very comfortable with our homeowners' preparation, and it's been borne out by success. Again, we've had over 130 families move into their homes, and we've only had 2 foreclosures. Now, any neighborhood has challenges and problems, and as we move from one home, one family to neighborhoods, we think that progressively we're doing a better job of preparing residents not just for home ownership, but for successful engagement with their community and leadership in their community. So at Sunrise, where we're building over in the Belmont Carlton neighborhood, we've brought together a very diverse group of families, everyone from market rate purchasers to Habitat homeowners to longtime residents of the trailer park. And we realized that about 2 years before we laid the first foundation, we wanted to create a community of people who liked each other, who worked together, who knew how to operate a homeowners association, so that when the homes were built, the apartments were built, the community center was up and functioning, this would be a solid community, we think, fundamentally stronger than just about any other neighborhood, which is actually a collection of people who kind of come in at random. We take a much more intentional approach.
Again, our guest today, Executive Director Dan Rosenzweig from the Habitat for Humanity of the greater Charlottesville area. My guest host today, Ren Henchy.
Hello.
Thank you so much for listening. We'd like you to call. We know you're out there listening to WNRN. I talked to someone yesterday, Carol Ann, who said, "Yo, I listen every Sunday from the chair in my backyard." Well, if you're one of those folks, please go get your cell phone and dial us up, 979-0919. We'll get your call through. I had a call from Irene Bullock. I think Irene has called before because she is from Pocosin, because she told me that she was a Bull Islander. And, Ren, what logo's on your football team?
The Bull.
That's right, because the Bulls represent the Bull Islanders. And also, Ren, how much money do you get as a, as an allowance?
$0.
$0. Well, then how are you able to make a pledge? I have a pledge here from Ren Henchy. That's a lot of savings. You must cut a lot of grass. All right, back to Dan Rosenzweig. It is here 11:20 on the wake up call, as it is Pledge Drive Sunday. Please dial us up, 979-0919. Ren, you had a question for Mr. Dan.
Do you only build houses for people who can volunteer, or do you help everybody?
Another excellent question. Our primary focus is working with people who perform sweat equity, who are prepared to work hard to become homeowners. However, We do several other things as well. We own two trailer parks, actually one now. We own the Southwood Mobile Home Park in Albemarle County. And we've been working very hard since 2007 to improve the lives of people who live there, to fix some of the infrastructural problems, to help match up residents with social services agencies in the county, and ultimately to prepare people to take the next step. And long term, although it's a decent community, we don't think that living in trailers is a sustainable long term option, because trailers degrade. And the infrastructure underneath the park ultimately degrades. So our plan at Southwood is to take what's currently 346 trailers and turn it into a mixed-income, mixed-use, transit-oriented development for everybody.
All right. It is 11:22 here on the Wake Up Call. Markets of Tiger Fuel forcast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Sunny today, highs 65 to 70, and then clear tonight, lows in the low 40. A little cooler over in the valley even. Sunny tomorrow, highs 65 to 70. Right now, it's a beautiful day outside, 57 in the valley, 61 in Lynchburg, 63 in Richmond, and 60 here in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And support also coming from Dixon Disposal, family-owned and operated for 40 years. Dixon Disposal works to promote green awareness. Dixon offers all-in-one can recycling, so you won't have to spend time sorting or trying to figure out if items are recyclable. These recyclable items will not end up in the landfill. For more information on the all-in-one can recycling, DixonDisposal.com, or call them 978-2111. Again, here on WNRN, it is Fun Drive Sunday, one of only 2 days here on the Wake Up Call where we ask for you to put a dollar sign on that feeling and make your gift to WNRN. Figure out how much WNRN means to you. Again, we try here on this program to give time and awareness to nonprofits like Habitat for Humanity, to allow them to show the effort that goes from the variety of people. Dan, how many volunteers do you have?
Last year, we utilized over 7,000 volunteers.
All from our area?
Yes.
And so
we have actually college groups that come here periodically to help work on our projects. And occasionally people are so inspired by what we're doing here locally that they'll come in nationally. But the bulk of those, the balance of the 7,000 volunteers are local.
So we're trying to allow these people to be somewhat rewarded for their work by putting their project on air and allowing it to reach a greater number of people. We'd appreciate you letting us to continue doing that every Sunday. It's not always about the nonprofit. Sometimes it's about the topic that needs notice. We did that back in July. There was a big discussion about chloramines and whether that was healthy or toxic in our area. I had on Dee Dee Smith from the Charlottesville City Council. And I had on Lori Delahante, who's a research scientist, as we talked about chloramines. Listen to this.
There are a couple other health implications for chloramines versus chlorine. One is that chlorine can be filtered out of your water. So, I mean, you know, chlorine has its own threats, its own certainly health issues. But you can filter it out with your just little old, you know,
with my Bria.
Bria, that's right. Bria.
Not to push any particular brand, but right. I guess the highest advertising makes that pop in my head first.
Exactly, and medical laboratories, et cetera, can filter out chlorine very easily. Not so with chloramine. There are very complicated, expensive systems that can filter it out, but nothing kind of over-the-counter or even terribly simple. So this is another issue with chloramines, is that for hospitals, particularly dialysis units are often cited, and medical laboratories, you know, we're becoming quite a center for biotechnology. That would be a big concern for those institutions. Again, I mean, they're already dealing with it with chlorine because they can't have that either. It's just like getting chloramine out of the water is a whole different ballgame.
Well, why is this being considered? I mean, you talked about the EPA with different regulations or a change in the regulations, and Ms. Smith, you discussed how we may not even need to do this, but chloramines is obviously on the list of potential solutions.
Oh, certainly, yeah.
For meeting the new regulations. But why is it on the list if it seems to have so many negatives to it?
Well, I think basically the Water Authority and EPA don't consider it really a threat. They're not in the group of folks who think that this is really potentially down the road just quite a hazard to our society. They think it's very safe, and if it were very safe, then it may be a good alternative to chlorine. And given that these new rules have just been imposed, and we do, while we comply, we do bump up against them. Our byproducts are not low everywhere. That, sure, it's not that expensive to change over. Let's change over to chloramine. It's a better system. I mean, that's all I can imagine, is that they're thinking, well, this is just upgrading our system. But as we've pointed out, that is not certainly the attitude of a lot of people and a lot of other water systems. And Lori, maybe you can speak to what other water systems have tried and rejected.
Actually, there have been a number of water systems that first of all have rejected it outright. Leesburg, Virginia is one of them. They chloramines was proposed for the Leesburg water system, and they ended up rejecting it back in December. Another one that actually tried chloramine and had to revert back to chlorine was Poughkeepsie, New York. Now, they have a system that's actually similar in size to the one in Charlottesville, so it was a very good case study. In Poughkeepsie, New York, they implemented chloramines in about 2006, and it was noticed very, very quickly that they had a lead problem. One of the problems with chloramine is that it leaches lead from the pipes, and there was a fiasco in Washington, D.C., where children were poisoned with lead. And so they immediately noticed in Poughkeepsie, New York, that they had a lead problem. It leached lead out of the pipes. Well, then they tried to remediate that by changing the pH of the water, and that didn't work. And then they tried adding anti-corrosion inhibitor, these corrosion inhibitors, which is zinc orthophosphate, which would try to damp down the corrosive ability of chloramine to leach lead and copper out of pipes, and that didn't work. Everything they tried ended up working against them, and they just threw in the towel and decided to go back to chlorine just this year.
The major issue is there are recognized byproducts that come out of adding chloramine that have not been studied, some of which we know are extremely dangerous. They're certainly not regulated. And it kind of goes to the precautionary principle, is if we don't need to add chloramines to our water, and if there are these increasingly public threats about what chloramines might be found to do to our health. And quite frankly, the other threat is there is a very good possibility that EPA will start regulating more of those chloramine byproducts. And then where do we stand in our water system? It just sort of goes to, should we change our system?
There we are talking about chloramines just a few months ago. And, you know, I don't believe that this show had, you know, we didn't turn the tide on what was going to happen, but I got regular feedback on the discussion, and the folks who were against chloramines made a big push, and the chloramines was not put into the water. That decision was changed by the Ravana Water and Sewer Authority. And I do believe that it's discussions like this that help educate people, starting with myself. Let me thank Blue Ridge Graphics for allowing WNRN and the Wake Up Call to even be here talking about topics like this. Blue Ridge Graphics, they are located at Meade Avenue and East High Street here in Charlottesville, providing custom T-shirts and sportswear, plus promotional items for schools, organizations, and businesses. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, and brgtshirts.com. Don't forget you can go online and make your pledge to WNRN during this hour. Please help us support Sunday Morning Wake Up Call for everything that we try and do for you. Today, we're trying to give notice to Habitat for Humanity in the Charlottesville area with our guest, Executive Director Dan Rosenzweig. My guest host today, Ren Henchy.
Hi.
And you had another question for Mr. Dan?
How hard is it for you to pick a family from all the families that you would like the help?
Another great question. It's very hard, and here's why. We have a very severe affordable housing crisis in this community. In the city of Charlottesville alone, there are more than 700 families who are on the waiting list to get into public housing, on the waiting list to get into the housing that's supposed to be the housing of last resort. We also have 400 or so families that are waiting to get a housing choice voucher, which helps subsidize some of the rent that they might not be able to afford in a market rate unit. So there are more than 1,000 families who are waiting to get into the housing of last resort in the city of Charlottesville alone, and that's not good enough. And so we would love to help every single family that comes forward, that works hard and is deserving, and who would like to become a Habitat homeowner. But what we do is we choose from the families not only that that have the most severe housing needs, but also display the strongest willingness to partner. Because what Habitat is a partnership. It's a partnership among Habitat, our volunteers, our partner families. We all work together to help people achieve their dreams.
Now, Dan, you continue to use the word families over and over and over. And I can see from Ren's list he has a follow-up question.
Do you only build houses for families, or can some living by himself get a house?
We actually build homes for people regardless of their family size, and their family can be one. We call everybody families, even if they're single individuals living alone, because we consider them to be part of our family.
All right. Again, please call us up with your pledge today to WNRN. That's 979-0919, 979-0919. We have a handful of people out there taking calls. You can go online and make your pledge. We'd love to hear from you. It's important. It's important to the radio station to get your financial support. It's what allows us to keep going, whether you're listening to Acoustic Sunrise, whether you're one of the large number of callers who pledged yesterday during Grateful Dead and Friends, when I talk about sweat equity, when I broke a sweat trying to answer all those ongoing calls for Mark Smith and Edmund. Crazy number of people. My goal was to get, I'd love to get 10 pledges. I already have a handful. I'm close to that number. 10 in an hour would make me very happy, and I'd love for you to be one of those 10. We know you're out there. If you can hear my voice, I know you're listening. That means that you support what we're doing. You're supported anyway. You don't have to pledge $105. Your name and your $10 shows support for the station and what you do. I've been through that time period where, and I'm still in that time period where, I didn't have extra cash. I just didn't. But $10 gets wasted on a pizza that then I crush myself for because it really wasn't that good or because I didn't need it. Your $10 gives us both the support of the person who gives us your call and tells us how much the station and the show mean to you. And the $10 goes to good use here. Because without your support, we won't be here sometime in the future, and we must, because of not just giving you the music, but for supporting organizations and topics like we try to do here on Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. Please, 979-0919. Dan, you touched over the, you know, this particular area, but the land cost, not necessarily the cost to build the home, but the land in the Charlottesville-Albemarle area. We've had a, whatever you want to call it, the real estate bust. But how do you come up with that? I mean, just purchasing the land.
Well, you've put your finger on really the biggest challenge. In the city of Charlottesville, you could purchase a developable lot in the year 2000 for about $10,000 to $13,000. By the year 2004, that number was $80,000. You can do the math and figure out it's pretty hard to build an affordable home when your upfront costs are $80,000. That's why Habitat chose to take a new approach. Instead of building one home for one family on one lot, we're now thinking like developers, and we've actually started taking large parcels of land, rezoning them, and creating healthy mixed income developments to bring down our land costs, to create healthier communities, and to subsidize the affordable housing component with market rate lot sales.
All right. Just a few minutes left with Dan Rosenzweig. You know, you're welcome to call up. A couple lines are open. I see that a couple people are calling in with their pledges. I hope you understand how important that is to the station, but to me as a person. I truly appreciate any and all support that we get here. But just a few minutes left with Dan Rosenzweig. You know, you're welcome to call in and make your pledge to WNRN in honor of Habitat for Humanity and what Dan and the volunteers, the 7,000 different people who have helped, are doing for our community. Because every time we thank Habitat for Humanity, every time we thank you for your pledge, we'll mention that it's in honor of Habitat for Humanity, and they'll get another shout out.
I'd love to second that. You know, obviously, I'm used to going around and asking people to support Habitat, but without great community radio stations like WNRN, nobody would be at Habitat or any of the other 1,000 wonderful nonprofits in this community making it a better place to live for everybody. Nobody would be able to spread the word. And so I'm grateful to Rick and WNRN for having us in here, and I do hope that some people like what we do and we'll call in and pledge on Habitat's behalf.
All right, last question from my co-host, Ren Hinchy.
How many families have you helped in the Charlottesville area?
Well, we've sold more than 130 homes in the Charlottesville area in our 21 years of existence. But we also, through our ownership of trailer parks, serve and have helped maintain affordable rental housing for more than 1,500 families in the Southwood neighborhood.
All right, Dan. Thank you so much for being here.
Rick, thank you so much for having me.
Well, best of luck. You know, I didn't even – real quick – the Habitat for Humanity store, because when I did my homework, I found that to be fascinating. I thought it was sort of like the thrift store, not the case.
We're very proud of our store. I think the word to keep in mind when you think about the Habitat store is green. It's green in many ways. Every dollar that we make selling household goods at the Habitat store goes directly into our home building activity. It's green in that we take donated materials. When people do a reconstruction or a rehab of their home, we'll bring volunteers out. We'll do the demolition and salvage, and sell housing goods so it keeps stuff out of the landfill. It provides, it saves green, so it provides people who might not be able to go up and buy high-priced household goods. It allows them to do their own rehab of their homes. And we feel like there's a strong educational component as well, so we like to do green building symposia out of the store periodically as well.
All right. Best of luck.
Thank you, Rick.
All right. 11:39 here on the Sunday morning wake-up call. I do want to remind you that please call up 979-0919. There's a wide variety of gift certificates out there as a premium to thank you for your pledge from the local businesses that have supported. A close friend of mine, Tom Kaufman, and the Kaufman family recently took over Martin's Grill up on 29 North and just happened to run into them on Friday. And Tom said, oh, hey, your fund drive's coming up here. Let me give you a $25 gift certificate. So Martin's Grill, owned by the Kaufmans, please call in and make your pledge. And I've got a $25 gift certificate here in my hand that we'll be glad to pass along to you. Again, 979-0919.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by the Market Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news, on Newsstand Thursday. Here's Rick on what you can find on this week's Hook.
And this week, the current 5th District U.S. Congressman Robert Hurt answers some questions for The Hook. There's a look at the current self-serve yogurt craze in our area. Will the Froyo market stay hot, or will the craze cool down? And it's almost showtime for the Virginia Film Festival. Festival director Jody Kielbasa offers a sneak peek at what the 25th anniversary of the festival may have to offer. The Hook, also asking you to support WNRN with your pledge, 979-0919. Call us up. And support today all coming from L. Oppelman's, Central Virginia's complete music headquarters, continuously operated since 1890 at 909 Main Street in downtown Lynchburg. L. Oppelman's music department now featuring acoustic guitars, banjos, mandolins, as well as electric guitar packages and complete drum sets. L. Oppelman, 909 Main Street in Lynchburg and at loppelman.com. And just to remind you, for folks, we know that you're throughout the listening area. There's, if you're in Lynchburg listening, we have some gift cards for restaurants in Lynchburg. Same for Richmond, for Harrisonburg, and keep on going. Please call us up, 979-0919. We'd love to hear from you. You know, we're talking about, I mentioned there that Jody Kielbasa from the Virginia Film Festival will be have a piece in The Hook. Well, you know what? He's also scheduled to come on to talk about the film festival in October. In fact, some of the future shows that are planned next week, I'll have Professor William Harrop on from UVA to discuss some of the recent violence in the Middle East. Sometimes it's not all about the current topic the day or the day after it happens. Sometimes you need a couple of weeks to sort of sift through and give it a little more academic discussion as to what has happened and what might happen, and take the immediacy and the paranoia or the immediate violence out of the conversation. So we'll be talking about that next week with Professor Harrop. I have professors coming on to talk about the presidential election. We're just sort of debating, do we do that the Sunday before or possibly the Sunday after, to talk about what just happened in terms of where it will lead us rather than just the polls and what we're expected to find. And that takes me to another piece. We were talking about some of my favorites. I had two professors on back in July, Professors Paul Friedman and Jeffrey Jenkins, about ways to improve politics. Are there ways to change how things go on now? And I'm sure with all the ads that are out there and all the followings in the media, that people would agree that there are things that need to be changed. Let's listen to the two professors.
Certainly, economic reforms, election reforms, and reforms dealing with sunlight, sunshine, and transparency are three big sets of proposals. Term limits is a big one, and term limits has been on the table in various forms for at least 20 years, both at the national level and at the state and local levels. The Supreme Court has taken it off the table with respect to federal elections, and I think there's another response to these proposals, and that is to note that in a meaningful way, we already have term limits, and they're called elections. And if I don't like the job that you're doing as my legislator, I can vote against you, and if I get enough people to vote against you and find another candidate, you're out of office. Similarly, if you're somebody who feels that the appropriate way to go about being in office is to impose a term limit on yourself, you're free to do that. Many people have here, of course, in Virginia. We've got a Senate election that is the result of a self-imposed term limit of one term by our Democratic Senator Jim Webb. And so I think to the extent that term limits would serve to take electoral choices off the table. I think that they are fundamentally anti-democratic, and we should let the democratic electoral process work as it was intended.
Yeah, I think that's right. Term limits were sexy back in the 90s, and a number of state legislatures adopt the term limits. So we actually, we have a laboratory as political scientists to study this a bit, and it's a mixed bag. What we observe is that one of the nice things about a system in which there are no term limits is that members of a legislature have to be responsive to their constituents. And once you take that off the table, once you term limit those representatives, then they start to think about, well, what am I going to do when my job is over? And they begin to think about maybe the next elected office or the next appointed office. And term limits also have a negative side in that they sort out of office very capable, very experienced politicians, right? And one of the things that's instrumental in producing good law is having people who know what they're doing, right? Who possess that sort of experience and knowledge. And term limits would essentially sort them out. It would move them out of office.
It's a very complex system with a lot of minutiae involved, and sometimes it takes many years to learn
exactly what
all the minutiae is.
That's exactly right.
And one of the unintended consequences, therefore, of term limits is that you shift the center of gravity, if you will, the repository, the institutional memory, the knowledge of all the minutiae, Rick, that you're talking about, to unelected actors, so staff members, lobbyists, other political types who are completely unaccountable
and
to
behind,
voters.
What's the... behind the curtains,
exactly,
is the Wizard of Oz-ish thing where
right, and if we didn't elect the wizard, we ought to be concerned about transferring more power to the wizard.
You talked about the primary changes to the primaries. Tell me more about that. I don't hear that in the media.
Sure. Well, we know from recent experience that our presidential election campaigns begin really in the very earliest part of the year in January, February, March, regularly in two states, Iowa and New Hampshire. A caucus in Iowa, a primary in New Hampshire. There are pluses and minuses to doing that. The pluses include allowing small, less well-funded candidates to reach an audience and to gain some level of prominence. But there are a lot of minuses. You've got some really small, very unrepresentative states, and they're the same states each and every time. You entrench particular interests. It's been extremely hard to move, to push until very recently against corn and ethanol, in part because of the role that Iowa has played. So people have come up with all manner of reforms and counter proposals to change the way of starting our primary season. Our colleague and friend Larry Sabato has an interesting set of proposals for dividing up the country into a small number of regions, and then by lottery at the beginning of every election season, choosing one region and a different region to go first. There's some real advantages, and there are real opportunities to think creatively about changing the way we go about
business. You think that's going to happen at any time?
I think very little of what we talked about today is likely to happen at any time in the near future.
All right. Thank you so much again, Professors Paul Friedman and Jeffrey Jenkins, from a conversation we had back in July. I find politics fascinating. It's not something that we do every week because it's not for everybody, but hopefully with 52 Sundays out of the year, we do something that catches your attention more than once. Don't forget, Santa will be here just before Christmas making calls to the kids. If you found a show that touches you, please call us up. Make the pledge, 979-0919. My goal is to get a total of 10 pledges. I think that we can do that. We're approaching. We have a pledge from Melissa. Melissa, thank you so much. It's unbelievable how important it is to me to get someone to call in and thank WNRN for what we're doing, especially during my hour. Dan, Lunchbox, I know I'm going to get this wrong. Why does the print in these things have to be so small? Some of us here are older than the 20-year-old DJs. Dan, Lunchbox, Halberg, thank you so much. It's again, it touches me so much. Again, and we have a pledge from Dewey Keaton, and Dewey had a question for Dan. Before you head out the door, it says, we have Habitat for Humanity, but with all the construction going on, is there Habitat for the Environment?
Well, a major focus of our new paradigm for affordable housing is to be leaders and innovators in green building. And I think we frankly really set the standards in terms of green building in this area. And I should list a few of the things that we've done in terms of changing our approach over the years. For one, we built only an infill locations that are walkable, that are on bus lines close to public transportation and services, to try to build a little bit more densely and combat the sprawl that really does affect us all. We also build to a minimal earthcraft standard. We also have built 5 LEED homes. And we are able to do this with low-tech, low carbon footprint techniques such as caulk. What do we have in abundance? We have volunteers. And what do volunteers have? 10 fingers each. And our volunteers love to be able to go out there and we invest probably an extra $1,000 of caulk per home because we have so many fingers that are willing to help out. And so we seal up our homes so tightly that when it comes to do our blower test to get our green certifications, we often have to bring air back into our home. So we are building the most energy efficient homes around using low-tech techniques that rely on hard work of volunteers. We're building in infill locations that combat sprawl. We feel like being good stewards of this land is a central part of what we do.
All right, Dewey. Thank you for your pledge, Dewey, and I hope that answers your question. Dan Rosenzweig, again, Executive Director of Habitat for Humanity, WNRN, and the Wake Up Call, supporting other parts of our community for everything they do to support us as a whole. Thanks again, Dan.
My pleasure.
All right, a few minutes left here on our Fun Drive Sunday here on the Wake Up Call. We'd love to hear from you, 979-0919. I see one of the lines is lit up. That gives us a couple more that you can reach out to. Again, 979-0919 will immediately bump you over to a free and open phone line. And if you're here with us because you're ready to start for Les Temps Purdue at noon with Drew Thompson, Tamara Winograd will be here as well with their fun drive. Les Temps, the best of 80s and 90s alternative. Drew brings out the roots of alternative because you can't understand where we are without first knowing where we've been. Take a trip to the times gone by with Les Temps Purdue only on WNRN. Drew and Tamara will be playing some great tunes and asking for your pledges. And I hope if you're not pledging the last 7 minutes here with Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, that you break out the credit card and be ready to pledge with Les Temps Purdue. It's important. I don't know if you understand how important it is, but you will. If you call up and you make your pledge, you will soon hear it immediately put back. You know, and a key thing to remember is that no matter what amount you give, we have a thank you gift for you. We have the latest CDs. We have gift certificates to the popular restaurants, the WNRN fashion items. There is a new T-shirt. If you already have the classic tee from before, the phone volunteer can give you the full list. We're always trying to make NRN a better radio station. We now have an iPhone app. We have a partnership with TuneIn Radio. And we vastly expanded the Now Playing feature on WNRN.org. So please call us up and support us. Randa, you support us. You come up twice a year.
Yes. I really like coming here, and it's fun, and get to talk to the world that I don't get to do that every day.
Can you remember other people that you've interviewed, like Mr. Dan here talking about building homes and helping people who need to find a home? Do you remember who we've interviewed in the past?
I remember one interview. It's like Drive on Wheels.
Yeah, we did Meals on Wheels a couple years ago. Do you remember when we had recordings for the blind and dyslexic?
Yes, I remember that, and I think I made a book.
Well, you told her what your favorite book was, and she invited me to come we put that book in your honor. That book had not been recorded for those who took use of recordings for the blind and dyslexic. And because she enjoyed so much of having you here helping support WNRN and recordings for the blind and dyslexic, that book was recorded in the honor of Wren Henschy.
That was me.
All right. Again, the phone lines open, 979-0919. We also need to thank Blue Ridge Mountain Sports for allowing us to be on air today, celebrating 40 years as your local one-stop source for outdoor gear, apparel, and footwear. Fall apparel now landing at Blue Ridge. You can get ready for the autumn air with lightweight fleece jackets from Patagonia and the North Face. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports at Barracks Road here in Charlottesville and at two locations in Richmond. For more information, it's brms.com. Again, we are here on WNRN Fun Drive Sunday. Would love to hear from you, 979-0919. About 4 minutes left. And let me take time to say this is WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg. Drew and Tamara up in a few moments with Les Thames-Perdue. But that gives us a few moments left to ask that you pledge to Sunday morning wake-up call. Some shows that we've done in the past maybe that will catch your attention and reminder as to something that entertains you on a Sunday. Back over Memorial Weekend, we had three librarians in here, as well as the owner of Daedalus Bookshop, to talk about enjoyable reading for the summer. We had two of our local school superintendents in here, Dr. Moran and Dr. Pettit from Albemarle and Louisa County Schools, did a show on teens and alcohol. Again, we try and cover both entertaining and important topics. Route 29 Western Bypass, did a show on entrepreneurship and small business startups. We had Dr. Feetz on from Georgetown Veterinary Hospital to take calls about the pets. We had Lee Channing here just last weekend, and the phones lit up for the entire hour as our local psychic Lee Channing took calls. And then we had free legal advice back in August, people to call up and take advantage of three local attorneys here in our area. 979-0919. Dan, you're still here. A quick question for you. What do you get by doing something for a nonprofit?
Well, I can probably best sum that up by sharing a couple of anecdotes. When we dedicated our first home at Sunrise, the first trailer park transformation in the country to not displace residents, the woman, Beverly Anderson, who's worked so hard for so many years, working a couple jobs, working in the Albemarle County school system, told us about the first day that her son walked into their new home, and he was astounded. He looked out and he saw that there was a back door of the house. He said, "Mama, we've never lived in a home with two doors." And to me, that was sort of a metaphor of what habitat homeownership does. It opens up doors, many more possibilities for people. The other anecdote I'll share is from one of our most amazing partner families, Larry Scott, who actually works at our store now. But Larry was homeless. He'd struggled with alcohol, and he was hopeless. And he started to get his life back together, in part because he married a wonderful woman named Monique. But he used to see the look on Monique's face when they would drive by other people's homes, and he knew that that's all she wanted was just to have a place to call her own. And he hung his head low because he never thought he would be able to provide that for her. And then he found Habitat and realized it was going to be really hard. And when he was selected into the program, working together with families in the community gave him a sense of hope in his heart that he could do it, that he could pull himself out of poverty. And now he and Monique and their daughter live in a beautiful home on Holmes Avenue, and I have never seen a home as well tended to and taken care of than that. And that's what makes it all worth it for me. I come to work every day feeling incredibly blessed to be able to do what we do, to just provide a little bit of a hand up, an extra door of opportunity, a window of opportunity for our hardworking partner families. That's what makes it all worth it for me.
And that's why we're here. That's why I'm here. That's what WNRN does, is provide an opportunity for that story to make it out to thousands more people than it might otherwise be blessed to hear it. Dan, thanks so much.
Thank you all very much for having me. Ren, thank you very much. You're a great interviewer.
Well, thank you.
All right, we're finishing up here. Les Temps-Perdue up next. Just remember, WNRN relies on everybody to support any and every show. Hopefully, if you were listening today, you might not have had the opportunity to call in and pledge, but you've got all the way until next Friday to do so with a live DJ. You can always go online at any time. Doesn't have to be with me. Can be with everyone. Oh, I'm getting past one more. Thank you so much for this last pledge. My friend Michelle Jones says I'm a sweetie. She must not know me all that well. But thank you so much, Michelle. Les Temps-Perdue up next.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news. On newsstands Thursday, the wake-up call is also supported by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@aol.com or wakeupcall@wnrn.org. The Wake Up Call is produced by Sean McCord. Tune in next Sunday morning at 11 for The Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.